Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Hockey is back, and so is Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, brought to you all postseason long, or should I say brought to you all tournament long, by Bill Curry Ford. My name is Tom Lang, and I cannot overstate how happy I am to be talking to you about the team that matters to me most, our own Tampa Bay Lightning. In this unique time in which we live, creature comforts are the things we cling to. Hell, we create them in our own mind if we can, the closest thing to them. And watching the Tampa Bay Lightning play some hockey games, some new ones, not classic Bolts, not Bolts Rewind, not YouTube videos of the final 5 minutes of Game 7 against Calgary in 2004, games that we've never seen in our lives, new information. That is going to be one of the creature comforts that hopefully we cling to for a couple of months until Lord Stanley is hoisted once again by our Tampa Bay Lightning and brought home because Stanley needs a tan. First, I want to thank once again Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. This is our third run, maybe fourth, I think it's third though, of Tampa Bay Lightning Talk, and they support local talk in Tampa Bay, even if it's from Tallahassee offsite somewhat. They support the conversation. And my thanks to General Manager Sean Sullivan over at Bill Curry Ford. They're located just north of the stadium. For your next purchase decision, head to Bill Curry Ford because they support projects like this. So thank you so much. Here we go. Yesterday, the Tampa Bay Lightning played a meaningless game, but it doesn't mean there weren't meaningful storylines. I'll get to that in a little bit. But where the hell are we? Who are we playing? How does it work? Okay, hit the pause button for just a second. There's a lot to recap. The Lightning started crappily in the 2019 portion of the 2019-2020 NHL season. It looked like we were hungover from being summarily embarrassed, swept, dismissed by the Columbus Blue Jackets last year. It looked like we weren't over it yet. And it's tough. It's tough. When you win 60-plus games and you take all of your 82 seriously and win them at a historic clip, and then you don't win a single game in the postseason, that's going to linger a little bit. And it did. We looked like garbage for a lot of the first 20, 30 games of the year. Andre Vasilevsky was pretty awful. And the group in general, they just didn't have the jam. They didn't have the extra grit, determination. But by the time you turn the page on the calendar to the year 2020, a year full of so much hope, and then that hope is dashed by the time you get to St. Patrick's Day, the Lightning got a lot better. Vasilevsky started picking up the puck. He did around the Christmas time area, and I'll talk about that in a little bit too. And the team won, I don't know, 23 out of 25 games. I forget. It's been so long ago. I feel like in some ways the Columbus debacle is closer in time relative to where we are now than the second half of the regular season in which we looked great. But here we are after a 3.5, 4-month delay. And I don't know that you can take a whole lot out of the 2019-20 season other than the people on the roster and maybe some overarching trends. You can't really take a whole lot out of that and plug it into Toronto, Ontario for this particular tournament. And that's where we are right now. We are one of the haves, not haves like Canadiens. We're one of the haves in that we're not going home in a week. We're not going home in 10 days. Hopefully it's a couple of months, but if you're one of the top four seeds in the Eastern Conference, you are protected from being eliminated over the next short period of time. The top four teams battling for seeds in the Eastern Conference are going to be playing a round robin style tournament. It's much like the group stage in the World Cup. Think about it that way. You're playing a three game round robin to determine who will be the number one through number four seeds in this, the Stanley Cup tournament of 2020. So the Lightning will be playing Washington, and Boston will be playing the Philadelphia Flyers, who, what? This must really be 2020 if they're one of the top four seeds in the East, but they were playing some great hockey themselves, especially in the last, 2 months before COVID canceled the regular season as we knew it. But we're going to be playing those teams in order to determine who is seeds one through four in the postseason. There are eight other teams. So 12 in all in the Eastern Conference are playing in Toronto, Ontario. There is one site, one bubble for the Eastern Conference. There's another site and another bubble for the Western Conference. That's in Edmonton. For my money, I'm glad it's in Canada because their numbers are way lower in terms of infections and risk. It's a bubble in a safer place. Good. Good. The chances we're going to actually crown a champion are much higher in that situation. So go get them, Bolts. But those other eight teams are as follows. 5-seed Pittsburgh against 12-seed Montreal. You got 6-seed Carolina against 11-seed New York Rangers. You've got 7-seed New York Islanders against 10-seed Florida Panthers. And the 8-9 matchup features Toronto and Columbus. They will be playing best-of-five series starting on Saturday in earnest. Best of five series to determine who gets into the proper Stanley Cup playoffs the way we know it. Meanwhile, Tampa and Boston, and no particular order, of course, Boston was the best team in the regular season. They hoist the President's Trophy. All of those awards, by the way, are done, frozen, handed out. Goals that we score in the round robin don't count towards regular season totals. I think they count towards the playoff totals, but they don't count towards regular season totals, your points, all that kind of stuff. That's frozen in time. This is not that regular season is a different entity altogether. So it's Boston, it's us, it's Washington, it's Philadelphia. We'll be playing to determine 1 through 4 to match up against the remaining 8 teams left. And they will be reseeding this year in the playoffs after every round. So when we won the Cup in 2004, we got bailed out in the second round. We were the 1 seed. In the East, we didn't win the President's Trophy that year. We were the 1 seed in the East, and then you saw a major upset of Montreal toppling Boston, who was the 2 that year. So we automatically got the 7 seed the next round. That's not what it's been like the last couple of years, where you're locked into a bracket through your own division. I hope you kept up with all that. But the idea being the number 1 seed, if you earn it, would get the 8 or the 6 or the 4 progressively as you move through the Eastern Conference tournament. You get the best available team if you're the highest seed. So, what does that mean? Nothing. Because hockey is a sport where the number 1 seed gets toppled by the number 8 all the time, even in the old system of doing things. See the Tampa Bay Lightning last year against the Columbus Blue Jackets. See that unbelievable stat that we win over 75% of our games last year and we can't win a single 1 in 4 tries. In the playoffs. So that is the conventional wisdom in hockey that unlike, let's say, the NBA, where the Los Angeles Lakers cannot lose, it's like impossible for them to lose in a best of 7 against the worst team in the Western Conference that makes the playoffs. Like that would happen once in 100 years. In hockey, it happens like, I don't know, once every 4 or 5, it feels like. Well, add in COVID and a 4.5 month layoff or 3.5 month layoff. Yeah, everybody's vulnerable. The best team for this tournament may be playing in an elimination series this weekend. Hell, they might have a 10 or an 11 seed next to their name. Could be. But you still want to tune up and you want to get yourself in the right position, in the best position to be ready to go for the intensity of the playoffs. And that's why hockey did this. They were talking about maybe doing exhibitions with nothing on the line for the top 4 in the East while the rest of the teams are playing at a playoff intensity level. But 1 through 4 in the East said, whoa, we want something to be on the line. We want incentive. We want to make sure that we don't get bamboozled by a team that's ready to play with high intensity, whereas we've been playing exhibition games for a week or week and a half. See what the Lightning did last year with Columbus. That was their excuse, was that they weren't playing meaningful hockey, and Columbus had been for months because Columbus needed to do so in order to make the playoffs. It's a BS excuse, but that's what we were looking for. Well, you get it. So we start on Monday at 4 o'clock. That will be our next game, and I'll preview that in the next segment. Let's talk about the overarching themes for the Tampa Bay Lightning and what we saw yesterday against the Panthers before we get into the big talk about how do we carve ourselves a nice little path from goal line to goal line to get where we want to go, which is Stanley Cup champion for the second time in franchise history. Well, for yesterday's game, it was a tale of two teams. Everything I heard about the Lightning in phases 1 through 3 down in Tampa, individual workouts, small group workouts, organized practices before they hopped on a plane and got to Toronto. We are an angry bunch. We are a bunch that hasn't forgotten what it felt like last year to be embarrassed. And to that end, we've been practicing with great intensity. As much intensity as could be expected for a situation like COVID, where you need to distance and small groups get together. It looked like it yesterday. I'm not going to take the conclusion or draw the conclusion that a 5-0 result against the Panthers tells me that we are the most prepared team in all of hockey for this particular tournament. I'm not going there. But what I can tell you is it looked like the Panthers were trying to get their legs under them, whereas Tampa Bay, we have our legs underneath us and we have a plan, and we're working to execute that plan. And we played yesterday without Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman. But we look like the team that's on a mission. Let's hope next time we sign on for the Joe Bolts Fan podcast, and that's next week, it'll be in August. Wow. One thing about COVID is it feels like it's March 150th, but then the next thing you know is we're nearly out of July. It's crazy. Hopefully next week when we talk, after we've played a couple of games, 2 out of 3 in the round robin portion, we continue to see that our Bolts look like they're ready to go. I think a lot of teams benefited from the layoff when you look at their roster, 1 through 18 for the Skaters, and the depth of the roster. When you're talking about health, a lot of teams got a lifeline here. I don't know that outside of maybe Pittsburgh, that any team in the East benefited more from the layoff than we did. Because one of the talking points entering the Stanley Cup playoffs, if we did it the normal time in April, would be Steven Stamkos' health, which stopped the press. It always seems to be something, and it's not his fault, but it always seems to be a topic of discussion in the springtime, late winter, early spring. But he wasn't going to be available in all likelihood till round 2 of the playoffs, and who knows what version of himself he would have been at that point. But he's better. I was told a couple of weeks ago, I know he hasn't played in the exhibition game. He's only been in a couple practices. Since they got to Toronto, he's participated in full practice. I was told a couple of weeks ago that Stamkos is okay. He's on track. He'll be fine. Which, those were great words to read. I have a couple of people down in Tampa, and they're all too happy to talk about hockey, anything. And the intel I got was, barring some other setback, he looks good. He's ready to go. Victor Hedman had been hurt and banged up. He's attending to a personal matter down in Tampa. He's supposed to fly up to, we're recording this on a Thursday. He's supposed to fly up and rejoin the team tomorrow, the 31st of July. He's healthy. Ryan McDonough was banged up. He's healthy. And then you've got the nicks, the bruises, and perhaps one of the underrated storylines, which is something that was hit on yesterday, Braden Point looks healthy. Now, I find interesting that Rick Peckham and Brian Engblom were a little bit more forthcoming about injuries, because this is almost like its own separate season. They were talking about Braden Point yesterday. I think it was in the first period of the game against the Panthers. And of course, we know that Braden, there was a question mark about whether or not he'd be ready until November or December because of work he had done on his hips last offseason. This is, you know, just bangs and bruises stemming from, 2018-2019 campaign. And Braden apparently was not able to work out and practice. This is according to Brian Engblom. He was not able to work out and practice the way he wanted to this whole season because he was just trying to get on the ice. So he couldn't ramp up his activity to play games and then also work out the way he wanted to. There just wasn't enough in the tank to do that. Well, this layoff allowed him to get right on both fronts. He can play the way he wants to. He can work out the way he wants to. And number one trend I saw yesterday was that Braden Point looks fresh, and he looks like the guy that we came to expect would be here night in and night out. And that's great news. There's already some synergy forming between him and Nikita Kucherov. How could there not be? With Stamkos limited, those two have been playing a lot together over the last 6 weeks, 2 months. They look great. They look dialed in. We'll see how they look against the top teams in the East, but check in the box right there. Number two thing, Andre Vasilevsky looks sharp. He's following the puck well. This is something that is pretty easy once you watch 40, 50 games of Vasilevsky's. You can tell when he's tracking the puck and when he's lost. And this season has been a tale of both of those storylines. First half of the season, before about Christmas time, he was not tracking the puck well. And then right around, I guess it was New Year's. It was right around New Year's. I was down in Tampa. I was in the Chase Club, the old XO Club, watching Lightning and Canadiens. And that was a night in which Andre looked like he finally started to track the puck. I was lucky to be there for it. I watched all these games. But you could see it. The way his head moves, the way his body is square to where the puck is, his anticipation of passes. Andre looked like he was coming out of a 20-game funk. And from that point on, he was so good that he earned, to me an erroneous, but he earned a nomination for the Vezina Trophy. I think that was based on reputation, not a full season's breadth of work. But if you awarded the Vezina Trophy for performances from about January 1 to the end of the regular season as we knew it, Andre might have won the damn thing. And he looked quite good yesterday. So glad to see that he is tracking the puck. He's got the focus and the sharpness of mind. The number three storyline that's really important to me is the emergence of Mikhail Sergachev. Sergachev fought Brian Boyle yesterday, and they've got a bit of a history. Dates back to a scrum, a dust-up they had when the Lightning played the Devils a couple years ago in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. But he dropped the gloves yesterday. Mikhail is taking the initiative to assert himself consistently. And that is a really good thing, not only for the now, but for the future of this franchise. Mikhail Sergachev is due a hefty pay raise this upcoming offseason, which will be in the fall, oddly. He is due a hefty pay raise because he's an RFA, and if you look at the production level for somebody his age, he's going to net quite a few dollars, and he's going to be a headache for us against the cap. But you want to know that you can pay somebody that money and trust that they're going to be a complete player. Entering this season, Mikhail Sergachev's offense was certainly there. Few defensemen in hockey, especially as lanky as he's built, can dangle the puck around the blue line with as much, it seems like it's careless, but as much reckless abandon as Mikhail and create as much space as he does. He's a truly gifted offensive player, but we didn't know what he'd look like defensively. Could he be reliable, or was he always going to be a plus player on the third pair? Mikhail's game has developed into top four quality, top four caliber, and that appears to have continued. Now you roll out the fact that Hedman's healthy, McDonough's healthy, Sergachev playing like he is. You've got a problem and a crunch at the bottom of the roster. Your top six D, that is a real battle. Mikhail didn't figure to be in the top four conversation this year unless he took a huge leap. Well, good news. He did take the huge leap, and he continues to look quite good and quite sharp. Those are the three storylines I take out of what we did yesterday against the Panthers. The number one concern I have is the integration of the two new players, right? It's Barclay Goodrow, and I understand that Zach Bogosian might win the top six deal. Maybe we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. But it's Barclay Goodrow and it's Blake Coleman. These are players that we traded for because they're going to be cheap against the cap for a couple of years. Coleman obviously is a goal scorer. He can score 20 to 25 for you. And the writing's on the wall. We've got to lose somebody like an Alex Killorn once this season's over because we don't have the money under the cap to fit everybody. So Coleman is the low-cost option for the long term, and then hopefully he gives you some drive short term. He gives you some value. He's a gritty player. But what I heard primarily about Coleman and Goodrow when we acquired them was they're great penalty killers. I don't see the chemistry yet. Florida did a great job. That was the first thing I noticed actually yesterday, wondering about how the game is going to shake out. Florida moving the puck on the power play was exceptional yesterday. They didn't do much else, but they looked quite good moving the puck around. It's just, you know, Cirelli, Killorn, our first two penalty killers, they look great. Paquette gets in there. He looks okay. Stamkos will be taking draws for us in the defensive zone. We've got that plan all mapped out. Coleman, Goodrow, I heard a lot about you guys as PK people. I'm not seeing it yet. So that's one of my concerns. We'll get into a whole lot more of that on the other side of the break. I've teased that already a couple of times. I'll give you a word or two about our friends at Bill Curry Ford on the other side as well. But it's good, guys. We're back. We're back to talking hockey. Did you forget for 15 minutes? You know, while I motor mouth my way through 20 minutes of Tampa Bay Lightning talk, did you forget for a minute that we live in a world with COVID? I did. And that's awesome. Hopefully we can do that by watching our beloved Bolts for a couple of more weeks. And by a couple of more weeks, I mean like 6 to 8 before we hoist Lord Stanley's Cup. But it's been a blast to watch these games. I'm watching all of them. And honestly, sneak preview, people. If you really love the sport of hockey on Saturday from noon till like 1 in the morning, you've got hockey wall to wall. It goes like 12, 3, 4, 6, 8, 10, 30. We are going to be sensory overload with sports. You've got the Rays down in Tampa. You've got NBA basketball returning on Thursday, July 30th, if that's your cup of tea. And I'll enjoy that. Sports and sensory overload and hockey right around the corner. Before we take a break on the Joe Bulls Fan Podcast, a quick word that Bill Curry, Ford General Manager Sean Sullivan, who I told you about a little bit earlier in this segment, will help you personally by phone, email, or in person at their giant showroom on Dale Mabry Highway, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. That's the kind of service you get from Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, owned by the Curry family for the past 60 years. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com, and you'll see the incredible 0% financing offers for 72 months and the signature nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Head to BillCurryFord.com today to check out the selection and for more information. We'll have more Joe Bolts Fan Podcast right after this. The guitar was gently weeping, maybe a little bit more than gently, when the NHL season was halted a few months back. I didn't know if we were going to see it. I had hope that maybe, just maybe, if they were willing to wait until about Halloween, we might see a conclusion to the season. I didn't expect that by the time we got to August, necessarily, that we'd be watching playoff hockey. But here we are. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. And, you know, in earnest, this is about a month ago, I heard in earnest they're trying to get it started by July 24th. All in all, not too bad. And the fact that hockey players, none of them, tested positive for COVID-19 in 4,000-plus tests, so across 800 players, that none of them tested positive before they hopped on the plane to Toronto, we've got a good chance of this thing moving forward and a good chance of this thing working out. And I think that's great and awesome. A couple of words real quick on the presentation, the way this thing looks on television. It's not going to be your standard fair broadcast, and I'm not just talking about, you know, the huge tarps over the stands in Toronto and Edmonton and the video boards and things like that. They're trying a high angle camera shot with, it looks like a wire cam or you know, a poorly used drone on power plays, especially sometimes in transitions between blue line to blue line. Hockey TV people still don't understand that if you want an in-the-flow type camera angle, you need the high above the goal shot, not along the blue line. And one thing that they're doing so poorly, and I hope they fix this, I know they're experimenting with it in the exhibition games to see what works and what doesn't. So they're widening the angle, they're panning out, and it's almost like you're peeking over the glass, as though you're sitting on the first row of either the club level at Amalie or the first row of the third level at Amalie. But it's also rocking back and forth on the wire cam as you're watching it, and it's making me seasick. It's terrible. It's almost as though you're on a cruise ship and you're moving in one direction, but then the boat's kind of rocking back and forth in the waves, and my brain can't handle that. I actually get a little bit nauseous. So I'm hoping somebody feels the same way that's actually watching it among the NHL executives. But I think the presentation otherwise, the crowd noise is not fake. It's just got the constant hum underneath, which is really all you need, a little bit of white noise. I know what they're going for is if you get up to go get a refill in the fridge because it's the second period and you're trying to kill a 5-on-3, you want to feel like, you know, the atmosphere is somewhat commensurate to what you've experienced night in and night out. You can't make it playoff ready, but you can give it some white noise. Also, they want to be able to bleep out any number of F-bombs that hockey players are more than happy to offer up. So those are a couple of things in the presentation I've seen, and I just hope they tighten it up a little bit. It's a world feed, so even though, let's just say that you're watching it on Fox Sports Sun instead of NBC Sports, it's not like Fox Sports Sun has its own commentators and camera crew on site. They're back in Amalie Arena, and the camera crew is not working up there. It's the NHL's. So CBC, NBC, Fox Sports Sun, whatever regional sports network you have, it's going to be the same camera feed with the same sequencing. One thing they could do to clean it up, though, and you can tell, I think the play-by-play announcers are going to be begging for this, because if you're going to watch hockey on a television screen, which is really tough to do, and call a game, like, Rick Peckham had trouble with it yesterday, but I really feel for Dave Mishkin. I mean, how the heck is he going to summon the power to yell, score, when he can't even follow the puck on the far side? You've got to have goal judges as part of your essential working staff. If you notice behind the net, there is not a goal judge booth, and they are not lighting up the glass, or there is no red light behind the net that's at least discernible on the camera angle to signal that there's a goal. And why is that important? Well, if you've got a scrum on the far side of the camera, the other side of the goalie's shoulder, and somebody's going to bat the puck in, like Dino Cicerelli or Dave Anderchuk circa late 90s, early 2000s, well, if there is human traffic there because people are scrambling, there's no way to know until you see the referee point at the goal, the skaters skate away for no apparent reason, and then hug each other that we scored. I think a goal judge would be part of the essential conversation in order to pull this thing off. Hopefully, they clean that up as well. So, the week ahead for the Tampa Bay Lightning, by the time we talk next, we'll have played two of the three Stanley Cup qualifier games or round-robin games. We play Monday afternoon against the Capitals. That's a 4 o'clock start. That's right, 4 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports, Fox Sports Sun. And Wednesday against the Boston Bruins. We're quote-unquote the road team in that one. That is a 4 o'clock start on NBC Sports Network, Fox Sports Sun as well. So unless you can cut out of work early, shut off your smartphone, all internet devices, don't turn on the radio, and tape the game, get home from work, and then crunch hockey into about 2 hours' time and see what we look like. Again, I'm not going to get too high with the highs, too low with the lows. This is an exploratory phase. I guess I'd like to have the one seed because I'd like to have the worst quote-unquote available team. But I mean, honestly, this is the Stanley Cup playoffs on acid. The Stanley Cup playoffs, normal version, you're already vulnerable to lose to the worst team who got into the tournament, who got into the dance. So you multiply that times COVID and who the hell knows. Storylines moving forward. How does Steven Stamkos look over these next three games? You got to get his game shape up to game speed, game conditioning. I don't care if he looks like crap for the first two games. Just get up to speed by the time we play the best of seven. And then Victor Hedman, of course, the same thing. He's been practicing with the team. He's going to be practicing with them over the weekend, and he should be good to go for game one. But you want to see those guys who've been missing time make sure that they're up to speed. And then the battle for the sixth defenseman. It looks like breaking camp in Tampa that Zach Bogosian really is going to earn our sixth defenseman spot. He bumps Jan Rutta out of the fold. And that's another player who benefited from the layoff in the sense that Jan Rutta is now healthy. Jan had a really good start to his season. I thought that his re-signing was overblown. I thought it was unnecessary. But he's proven me wrong. He looks solid. Does Zach Bogosian actually earn the minutes once we get into our first-round matchup? This time next week, we'll have a little bit more insight there as well. Otherwise, let's just see if there is a continued trend. It was a one-off performance against Florida. We looked far more prepared than they did. By the time we play really good competition in Washington and Boston, those teams are going to be really hungry as well, trying to get their amped up energy level to the point where they're ready for playoff competition. By the time we play those two teams, two more pieces of evidence. Is it a trend that we look prepared? I hear we're angry. I saw we were angry on the ice yesterday. That wasn't your September preseason type game from an intensity standpoint. It looked like an upper end regular season game. But Florida wasn't ready to go there. I suspect Washington and Boston will be. So you're looking for little trends. I'm not going to live and die on these games. These are fact-finding missions. And I think that's what the coaching staff is going to do as well. You know, you reseed every round, but if you're the two or the three, who the hell cares? Just, you know, find your best 18 by the time you get through all three games, and we'll see where we stand from there. Once again, before I sign off, I just want to thank our friends at Bill Curry Ford for supporting Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay, for supporting Local Talk. They've done so over the last handful of years with the JoeBucksFan.com network and certainly with us here, the folks in Tallahassee. This is year three of the Joe Bolts Fan podcast. The Scuttlebucks, which football pending will be coming back this fall. They supported it last year, and they've signed on to do so again. So I'm really thankful to General Manager Sean Sullivan. If you have a new or used car purchase decision coming up, give them the time of day. Let them pitch you. And I'll bet you'll be pleasantly surprised if you didn't already expect the great service that we tell you about every single week. That's all I have for you this time around. 5-0 win over the Panthers yesterday. Whoopity-doo. Braden Point looks good. Kucherov looks like he's got his instincts, and it looks like there is a mission that this team is on. Two more pieces of evidence by the time we talk next, and I cannot wait to talk to you about Lightning hockey once again. Who knows if there's a baseball season by the time we talk next, but there certainly will be hockey, and that is great news. Until next time, everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. My name's Tom Lang. We'll see you and talk to you next Thursday.